A good morning to you as we welcome you to our website broadcast. This Sunday, we're celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon, The Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Our psalm for the day is Psalm 8. Allow me to read the Old Testament reading, beginning with Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Continuing on, the epistle comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 and 22 through 36. This was Peter's sermon at Pentecost. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, for he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Now let us listen to Pastor David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, as he reads the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, followed by his sermon entitled, "The Heart of the Holy Trinity."
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Feast of the Holy Trinity is the one festival on the Christian calendar that doesn't commemorate a person or an event. Instead, it's all about a mystery. It's a mystery revealed in the Word of God, revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The Holy Trinity is a mystery because left to our own reason, there's very little we could know about the one true God. And think about it. If you wanted to start your own religion from scratch, would you base it all on a God who is three distinct persons in one divine being? That's way too complicated. One Christian writer remarking on the Athanasian Creed expressed it this way: the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, the whole thing incomprehensible. And that's sort of how it should be. Any God who can neatly fit into clever categories devised by human beings isn't much of a God. If you want to be inspired by the God we confess, if you want to be excited as you comprehend the incomprehensible, then you need look no further than today's Holy Gospel. Because there, in one simple paragraph, from the lips of Jesus, the heart of the Holy Trinity is revealed. If you were listening carefully to those final verses from St. Matthew, you also heard something about the human heart, something we shouldn't overlook. St. Matthew writes, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." Did you catch that? Even while they were worshiping the resurrected Jesus, even as they fell down on their knees in praise and adoration, some of them doubted. And they weren't just anyone. These 11 men spent 3 years with Jesus. They knew Jesus better than anyone. And yet some of them doubted. That fact is significant because even as we worship Jesus in the resurrected flesh, some of us are doubting too. We're all struggling in different ways. Satan tailors his temptations to zero in on each of our weaknesses. We all have our favorite sins which we just can't seem to shake off. We all bear crosses of differing weights. And some of us are doubting. We just can't see how it is all going to work out. We're wondering just how the triune God is going to make good on all his promises to give us a hope and a future, if he's even able to do anything. We believe, but our faith is tinged with hesitation and uncertainty, just like it was for the 11. So we need to hear what the 11 heard. We need to hear the voice of Jesus who says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that mean? It means that he's got the whole world in his nail-scarred hands. The things that trip us up and tire us out, even the terrors and the tragedies of life, are not beyond the reach of his authority and his love. All authority resides in the resurrected and living Christ, and he shares that authority with you, uses that authority through his church on earth for your eternal good. God is for you, not against you. That's the heart of the triune God. And the heart of God is not just set on you and me alone. No, the heart of God is on the move to seek and save more people. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. When it comes to our witnessing, we don't get to pick and choose who we think would make a good disciple. In fact, we don't discriminate in any way. Our marching orders are to make disciples of all nations as we go. All nations. Doesn't just mean all nationalities. In fact, all nations was the most inclusive phrase Jesus could have used. It means all sinners are welcomed here. All who have been devastated by life in this world under the weight of sin and brought to repentance by God's law. There is always room for another sinner in God's house for all who have been died for by Jesus. The Bible says it so clearly. For in Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Jesus Christ wants you as his disciple. And in this wonderful truth, we see the heart of the Holy Trinity. And God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Disciples come from all nations, as will be made clear on that day when we're all gathered before the throne of God as a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages. The means God uses to get us there are well known. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. When you were baptized, God the Holy Trinity inscribed his name on you. You are marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. By the power of your baptism, God is at work in you to forgive your sins, to rescue you from death and the devil, and to give you eternal salvation. And in doing so, makes you a living witness to all of God's grace. There's only one reason you and I can stand firm in the faith, and it is in Jesus' promise. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is with you to bless you, with you to forgive you, with you even in the midst of your doubts and your sufferings, with you as you go along the way and bring Jesus and his mercy with you to the world. He's with you, here and now, in his word, the word that you hear with your ears and that goes straight to your heart and your mind. The word that tells you the truth that Jesus died to destroy the power of sin and death, that Jesus is now alive forevermore, that Jesus will not abandon you to the grave, but he will bring to completion the great good work that God has begun in you. He is with you always, until you see him in the flesh, face to face in paradise. This is the heart of the Holy Trinity. It's a mystery we can't fully understand, but we can and do believe it, and we bring it to the world. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Our sermon hymn can be found in the Lutheran Service Book on page 564. It is entitled, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand.
Thank you.
please join us in the prayer that the Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us all confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer for the Holy Trinity. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our closing hymn comes from the Lutheran Service Book on page 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining us here on our website broadcast here at Peace with Christ. Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.